At 15, my guest looked into Jesus' eyes, eyes of fire, and she fell so in love that she decided to devote the rest of her life to following him. Now, she wants to pray for you to look into those same eyes of fire. Next. Welcome, Holy Spirit. Go and flow. My guest, Catherine Mullen's parents were pastors. She knew and loved Jesus from an early age and was filled with the Spirit of God at age 5. She doesn't remember not feeling his tangible presence. As a child, she heard the sounds of heaven and saw liquid gold during a worship service. Catherine, just before we went on there, I said, your story is the mirror opposite of my story. Jesus was just a curse word to me for the first 30 years of my life. You provoked me to jealousy. I wish I had grown up in that type of an atmosphere. Tell us about that.
First and foremost, I just want to decree over the people watching that your children do not have to know Egypt. They can have my same testimony. They can love God from the very beginning. And I decree that that is going to be their testimony. So I remember I was probably about 7 years old and I was falling asleep and I was just thinking about the Lord, heaven, the throne of God. And I said out loud, Lord, I just want to hear the sound of heaven. And it was like almost immediately I heard this huge choir sound fill my room. I was shocked, but I also wasn't shocked because I knew this is what we were made for. That's what I was taught from the very beginning. And I remember falling asleep to this beautiful choir sound, so many harmonies. I didn't know what harmonies were back then, but that's what I was hearing. And I fell asleep to that. And that continued for a few more weeks, just different nights. I would fall asleep to hearing what I now know is the sound of heaven and angels singing. It was really incredible.
And then you had that liquid gold?
So I was in the eighth grade. I had just gone to my friend's church, and that's a really informative year, eighth grade. So we had gone to her church, and it was a beautiful cathedral-type church. It had beautiful stained glass windows, and we sat in the balcony with all of the other cool eighth grade kids with braces. And I remember looking around, and there were about 3,000 people. They had an incredible choir. They had probably about 10 to 12 background vocalists, and the music was wonderful. And I just remember immediately feeling the presence of God. And as suddenly as I felt the presence of God, I began to see this picture in my mind's eye of this liquid gold coming into the room. But suddenly, the liquid gold stopped because a net came up and stopped the liquid gold from coming into the room. And so at this point, I didn't have any thought of, you know, the politics of denominations and different beliefs concerning Christianity and worship. But I remember feeling really grieved because I looked around and it was like half the people were sitting down, half the people were standing, hardly anyone was singing. And there was maybe one person over here I remember lifting up their hands. And I just remember thinking in my heart and in my head, God, if there's anybody in this room, they're not interested in worship. I want you to understand, here I am, and I'm acknowledging your presence, and I'm acknowledging that you want to come in and be worshiped. And so I had this peer pressure moment in the eighth grade with all my friends. And I just lifted up my hands and I felt his presence. And it just marked me because I realized we have a God who is worthy of worship. And maybe not all of us understand that at times, but we were created to worship him. And I just honestly started to cry. And I remember we got to the point in the service where it had like the special music. You know, do you remember that with the one person singing? Because the other worship apparently wasn't special. Called it special music. And I just remember starting to cry. And my friend smiled at me and she just said, isn't it so pretty? But I thought, I'm crying because God's presence has come into the room and we don't fully recognize it.
And that's a big deal. And it was almost cut off.
Yes.
I hear that description.
I think it was.
Unintentionally.
Yes.
What they wanted, what any human would want, was cut off by humans and they didn't even realize it. That's what I got out of
it. Yes. And that's what I feel like. I think the Lord really put that on my heart at an early age, because I realized that there is a call and response that we have to have as supernatural beings living in a natural world. We were meant to encounter the presence of God. It's our lifeline. It's our blood flow. And we have to make a decision to give Him space to move and to give Him space to do something in our services.
Okay, I've been waiting to ask you this question for a while, because you provoked me to jealousy. Tell me about the time you looked into Jesus' eyes and you saw fire coming out of His eyes.
Yes. So fast forward a few years later, I'm around 15 years old. We're in our youth group and our youth pastor's wife is speaking. And she just says, "Do you know what it means to encounter God?" And immediately as a PK, I got kind of defensive. And I said in my head, "Of course I know what it means to encounter God. I love God." And I don't know why I was that defensive about it. But right after I said that in my mind, she looked straight at me and she said, "You could have loved God your whole life, but do you know what it means to stare into His eyes of fire?" And when she said that, it was like the Holy Spirit just grabbed my heart and something broke in me, because I had never seen His blazing eyes. I'd 15 years in the charismatic church and I didn't even hardly know what she was talking about. And so we went off to different parts of the room and probably just put on a Christian CD and started worshiping. And she said, "You stare at that wall and you ask the Lord to show you His eyes of fire." And I just remember kind of being, again, frustrated, like, I'm a Christian. Do I really need this specific encounter? But I started to cry. And just because of the graciousness of God and that we were made to experience the presence of Jesus, suddenly I feel like the face of God, and it was particularly specifically His eyes of fire, and they were just blazing like a blue white, and they just kept going back and forth. And I just remember thinking, this is more real than what I see around me, and I am willing to give the rest of my life to this God. This is what I was made for. And just everything changed. It was like it snapped into place once I saw His eyes of fire. The enemy is trying to distract this generation in so many ways where we can't focus, because once you have a tangible encounter with a real and living God and you see His eyes of fire, everything's going to change. And so that's what we're after. We're after the gaze of a generation. We're after their focus in this season, and God's going to get it back.
Tell me, how you actually got into full-time ministry.
So that is an interesting question. So obviously I'm a PK, and because of that, there's really good moments, you know, that I've had being a pastor's kid, but then there's also been some really hard experiences. We make the joke that sheep bite. And so there have been some hard seasons. So I remember telling the Lord that I actually didn't really want to go into full-time ministry. And I just told Him, "If you want me to go into full-time ministry, you're going to have to open the door wide open. I want to go wherever you want me to go, but please make it very clear." And so I was getting a business degree at the time, and the Lord really opened the door for me to lead worship at a particular event that ended up getting put on God TV. It grew from probably about 700 people to 10,000 people within 2 weeks. And really the Lord used that to launch me into full-time ministry. It was a really interesting process, because right after that, some of the people that I was connected with, at my dad's church in particular, I felt I was very sheltered in a good way. They were holy, living holy, set apart. My parents are my heroes. They love the Lord so well, even behind the scenes. And I was able to see that.
Now, if a pastor's kid says that, you know
it's true. It's true. But when I was first launched into ministry, some of the streams that I became a part of, to be honest, the behind the scenes didn't line up with how I was taught concerning holiness and purity. And it was a little bit hard to see, you know, I don't drink, I don't cuss, I don't watch bad movies. You know, I have a pretty high standard of holiness. And I remember thinking, does everybody else except my church and my family live this way? And it was really hard. And I thought, well, maybe I just have to be light in the darkness, you know? And I ran into a person in ministry, and he became a very dear ministry friend. And he said, you know, "Are these the people you're running with?" And I said, "I don't want to run with them, but I don't know who else to run with." And he said, "You want to find people and run with people who weep at the things that grieve the heart of God." And so I remember I was in Australia. I had about 6 months of trips kind of booked, which is a big deal for a brand new 21-year-old worship leader. You know, 6 months as you finally arrived. And I was staring at the ocean, and I told the Lord, if you have other people you want me to run with, I'm happy to do that. And if you want me to give this up, and this isn't the stream that I need to be in, then you can have it all. And I felt like He told me just to let it go. And so I felt like I was committing ministry suicide at this point. And I called back home to the States, my travel buddy friend, and I said, just cancel all the trips, just cancel them all. And I was with another person in Australia, and I looked at her and I said, well, it's been a fun run, you know, thinking it was done at this point. And lastly, I got back to my condo in Australia that we were staying at right after I had this conversation with the Lord. And there's a ministry called The Ramp with Karen Wheaton. Mm-hmm. And I had a missed call from them. And they actually said, you know, I'm sorry this is so last minute, but we'd like you to come in and lead worship. And they actually filled the first event that I canceled. And I really found my tribe, and the Lord really opened the door and took care of me in my ministry transition with all of that. And it's just so amazing how the Lord leads His people.
Catherine moves in miracles and accurate words of knowledge. She sings prophetically over people, and they get supernatural breakthroughs. When we return, I'm going to have her sing prophetically over you. Be right back.
We will be right back to It's Supernatural.
Do you know that God created you for worship to break enemy strongholds and negative influences off your life? Worship leader Catherine Mullins wants to mentor you to live an authentic warrior lifestyle of prophetic praise that activates spiritual atmospheres all around you to defeat enemy attacks. And you don't even have to be a worship leader or a great singer. It's God's calling for everyone. Now more than ever, it's finally time for you to become an instrument of God.
Hello, I'm here with Catherine Mullins, and Catherine is a psalmist.
It's nothing but the blood of Jesus.
You don't wrestle against flesh and blood and circumstances. You wrestle against spiritual principalities and powers of darkness. And you have found, Catherine, the greatest weapon available is what you're teaching on.
Amen. Praise. It's the power of praise. When we praise, God literally comes down and He fights our battle. We've got to be the people that God made us to be in this season. And we were made to be warriors, and we were made to fight through the power of praise.
We're making available brand new and exclusive 3-CD set, Pathway to Encountering God's Presence, plus her latest worship CD. And I'll tell you, I love the title. Sing Like the Battle is Over.
With Catherine's CD set and music CD, you'll experience God arising to fight your battles with you and win. Discover your voice to release your own battle sound that repels the enemy. Learn that praise is the love language of heaven. Enter God's presence using the protocols of praise to overcome spiritual roadblocks for yourself and others. Now here's Catherine with a clip from her music CD, Sing Like the Battle is Over, that you'll also receive when you get her 3-CD mentoring series. This Warring with Praise package can be yours by calling or go online at sidroth.org/9989 with your donation of $29, shipping and handling included. For Catherine Mullins' 3-CD set, Pathway to Encountering God's Presence. Plus, get her music CD, Sing Like the Battle is Over.
We now return to It's Supernatural.
Now, I am fascinated when someone has a gift of worship and they can prophesy, they can change someone's life. But you're seeing miracles, major type miracles happen when you sing. Tell us about it.
You know, I'm just so thankful that as a worship leader, I've just been able to sit on the sidelines and see so many incredible miracles happen. I have seen the deaf ears open. I've seen blind eyes open. I've seen lumps dissolve. And I've seen really so many amazing emotional healings. And specifically for this generation right now, they need emotional healing like never before. And one of my favorite testimonies actually happened a few years ago, and it has to do with the ramp. So this guy comes to the ramp school of ministry in Hamilton, Alabama. I was on staff there at the time. And he comes to the ramp wanting to prove that you can be gay and Christian. And so, of course, that doesn't last for long. So he comes into a worship set, and I love it because he was touched by an encounter with Jesus. Nobody called him out. Nobody said, you're dealing with this and this. He said the tangible presence of God came into the room and surrounded him. He was coming out of a drag queen lifestyle, addicted to drugs and alcohol. And he said that when he encountered the presence of Jesus, his sexuality didn't matter because he was in the presence of a real and living God.
So, did you follow up on him? What happened to him?
So that's
later
the amazing
in life?
Thing. So now he actually fell in love with a girl who also came out of same-sex attraction. They both got right with the Lord. They now have two kids, and we all do ministry together. This is years later, and I love
it. That is so wonderful. Now, I remember many years ago, I was a new believer, and there was a book by Carruthers called The Power of Praise or something like that. And it's almost like it has to come back to the congregation, to the church. Talk about the power of praise.
Well, I love praise, and I feel like it's a little bit of a lost art form in the church. And exactly what you said, God is bringing praise back to his people because God wants to bring victory back to his people. We all know in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, it says, we don't wage war the way the world does. Our weapons are not carnal, but they're mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds. There are some strongholds we know in people's lives that it is time that they are brought down for good. And I believe, you know, I've said this before, but the reason why the enemy wants to silence the voice of praise in the church is because for thousands of years, the enemy has suffered defeat at the sound of a praising church. And I want to prophesy to those of you who are watching right now, you are getting your voice back. You are getting your praise back. You are getting your sound back. You are getting your fight back. And I decree that the enemy is terrified of the sound that is on the inside of you. It is amazing to me. I love this, that God designed it, that our enemy could be defeated by a song and a sound. While the world is waging all of these battles, we get to fix our eyes on Jesus, and he literally fights our battles for us. And that's why he wants the churches to be silenced. That's why he wants the people in the pews to be quiet. That's why he wants it just to look like a little show, because there's power in the sound of a generation of praisers who trust that God is going to fight their battles for them. Well, in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, we all know this story, but it's the best story to describe, I feel like, what we need to remember. King Jehoshaphat, he has three different actual armies coming against him, three literal violent armies. And I love his response. He immediately goes to the temple and he says, I don't know what to do. I mean, how many of you, we've been there. We don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. So he sets the standard. We've got to have an eye connection with God again. And then a prophetic word comes from Jehaziel. And he says, hey, you don't need to worry about this. You just need to go out and you need to fight because you're not going to be the ones that fight. God is going to fight the battle for you. And then I love this. Jehoshaphat, King Jehoshaphat says, I know we're about to face some violent armies. So let's go ahead and send out people who can sing good. It doesn't make sense.
No.
Let's send out 5'3", Catherine, to face some violent people. And I think he loved doing this, and he understood the power of praise because he understood what it talked about in Genesis 49. It said, Judah, your hand shall be on the neck of your enemy, meaning praise. Your hand shall be on the neck of your enemy. They understood that when they stood in a place of praise, God warred for them. And I'm telling you, the church is getting their praise back, and the church is starting to wake up to the power of praise.
You had a vision of the courts of heaven.
Yes.
What was in there?
So in my mind's eye, I was taken up to exactly what you said, the courtroom of heaven. And in front of me, I saw a really large throne, God the Father seated on it. And to the right, it was Jesus. And I saw all of these angels, and they were pacing back and forth in this room. And they had all this pent-up energy, and they were really tense. And then all of a sudden, I saw God the Father stand up from His throne in heaven. He walked with confidence across the room. He looked over the balcony of heaven, and He pointed down to the earth, and He said, "The verdict is no more delay." And
wow.
Immediately—
Did you get that? No more delay.
And what was so amazing is immediately when the Lord said this, I saw these double doors fling open, and all of these angels with this pent-up energy flew out. And this is the reason why they were ready to go, is because in the courtroom of heaven, I heard what was kind of this loud rumble. And what I realized is it was the prayers of the saints coming to the throne of God, the courtroom of God. And He made a decree. And I just want to decree over the people that are watching, you're coming into an era of no more delay. Hear this in this season. You are entering in. Wherever you're at, just lift up your hands. We decree in Jesus' name that the church is entering into a season of no more delay. We decree that families that love the Lord, they're entering into a season of no more delay. And just prophetically right now, I'm pulling you into that season. I'm pulling you out of that past season of being stuck. And I'm decreeing over your life, oh, hear this. Heaven is shouting, the verdict over your life is no more delay.
But I want to make sure that there is no more delay.
Amen.
And the way I'm going to make sure is for you to repeat a prayer and mean it to the best of your ability. It's a short prayer. It's making Jesus your Messiah and Lord.
Good.
Out loud.
Good.
Repeat after me. Dear God.
Dear God.
I'm a sinner.
I'm a sinner.
And I command all evil to leave my presence.
I command all evil to leave my presence.
Because Jesus is my Messiah and Lord.
Because Jesus is my Messiah and Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Minister over the people right now.
We decree the verdict is no more delay. We decree you're gonna see a new and brighter day. We decree your prodigals are coming home. We decree no more delay, no more delay, no more delay. That which the enemy has tried to come against you, that where the enemy has tried to stop you, that where you felt like your prayers haven't been heard, I decree heaven is hearing your prayers. Come on. I decree heaven is hearing your prayers. I decree heaven has heard your prayers. I decree heaven has heard your prayers. And I say the verdict is no more delay. God says the verdict is no more. The prodigals are coming home. Yes, the prodigals are coming home. Oh, the prodigals are coming home. I know the prodigals are coming home. The prodigals are coming home. Oh, those wayward spouses are coming home. Those wayward children are coming home. Those wayward grandchildren are coming home. Coming home, coming home, coming home.
To the guy with the sweatshirt.
Da first.
Yep, that's him. I just decree that you're an arrow of victory in the hand of the Lord.
I decree you're an arrow of victory in the hand of the Lord. And wherever you go, the victory of the kingdom is gonna go. Wherever you go, the victory of the kingdom is gonna go. Because you're an arrow. Spirit in the natural.
And I say to you, no more delay.
Yes.
No
yes.
more
yes.
delay.
Yes.
No more delay.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
More delay.
Yes.
No.